Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media. This is episode number 9, and I am your host, DJ Chuang. And on this episode, we chat with Bernadine Young, a internet campus pastor who lives in Houston, Texas, and pastors for a church that is physically located in Brunswick, Georgia, called Family Life Church. Yes, a church that is in Georgia and an internet campus pastor that is not on site and lives a time zone away in the big state of Texas. I first found out about Bernadine back in September of 2010, and what caught my attention was not that she was pastoring for an internet campus at a different location from where the church was located, but she was also the first woman that was an internet campus pastor, and she continues to do her work from remote, and they have definitely leveraged technology in a number of ways to make it work. And so this may be a picture of what the future of internet campuses and churches will look like in the future, and actually not just the future, it's already happening. So here is my conversation with Bernadine Young. Well, Bernadine, you're the internet campus pastor of Family Life Church, and you live in Houston, and the church is somewhere in Georgia. So how does that work?
actually, it's in Brunswick, Georgia, which is close to, it's a border of Florida and Georgia. Mm. So, yeah, it is far away from Houston. Actually, we started the internet campus around 2009, mm-hmm. So I was living at the time in Colombia, South America, mm-hmm. And it can be quite challenging because I am far away from the main campus and everything, but it's very doable with the internet and Skype, and that's how we have our staff meetings and everything, so we've made it work. Even though, it's more challenging. But I'm grateful for, cell phones and text and all those wonderful inventions. So that has made it easier.
How did this come about? Because running an internet campus is challenging enough. And in my research, I found less than 100 churches that are doing it, and yet there's over 350,000 churches in America. And so why make it harder than it needs to be by having staff that's remote?
Good question. I think that...
I'm sure you're very valuable, so that's probably a big factor.
Yeah, I think so. when they asked me to do it, I felt like they had someone in mind who had the leadership skills and who had the ability to do it. Mm-hmm. I felt that even though I was far away, they really felt like I would be able to run with it. Mm-hmm. It was all new to us and everything, mm-hmm. and I was really motivated to do it, and I really wanted to get it all started and everything. I know that not only was it new for our church, but it was also new to me, mm-hmm. and I thought that it was something that was just going to be good for the church. Our church was always, has always been, just a church that does so much outreach. So wherever the people are, mm-hmm. it's where we are. Mm-hmm. And as you know, now people are online. So that's mm-hmm. where we have right. to be yeah. as a church, in general. And I think it's important to reach people who can't go to church and people who won't go to church. And what a perfect environment, right?
Yeah. That's great.
I think it's wonderful. And
Did you attend the church before you became far away, or how did this come
yes.
about?
Yes, my husband And I moved there when our children were very young. They were like 12, 8, and 7, and it was about 2001. And so they kind of grew up there for about 3 years, and, you know, were in youth group and everything. And I felt very connected to this church. It was a church then of about 20.
Wow.
And, yeah, incredible. And I felt that when we walked in the door, I mean, I just felt so comfortable, and I felt so welcomed, and immediately I felt that I wanted to be part of this church. And I remember that when we got back, I think it was Monday or Tuesday after we got back to our apartment, I thought somebody knocked on the door, and my kids went running to the door, and they're like, "It's the pastor from our church," you know. And I was like, "Oh, what do we do?" You know, I wasn't accustomed to that at all. And I thought, wow. And he came in, and I mean, we just talked for a couple hours, and I just felt such a connection to the church, and I felt that we were important, as every family was in that church. And, you know, from that 20 in a very small community with a lot of churches, today it's 1,300 people. And it's a small community. And, you know, 12 campuses from that one campus of 20 people. Today there are 12 campuses, including the internet campus.
There are 12 campuses?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, all over the world. Yes. Oh, and, you know, I just, I think that it's so important to love people and to teach people how to love people.
Yes.
That way we can go out and multiply.
Yes.
And even, you know, doing so on the internet, which is really different for me because I love connecting with people. And it was a little bit of a transition because is nearly the same, but you don't see each other, of course, face-to-face, you know. But we've had a lot of good testimonies, and we were even able to grow a church online. We had one of our biggest audiences is out of India. And this past, we had a gentleman who hopped online, saw one of the messages, and would invite other people to his home to watch the messages. And this past May, our lead pastor got to go and do a discipleship class in India for this group of people.
Amazing.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yes.
I mean, we're just so blessed, and it's just a wonderful platform.
Well, let me learn a little more about the church, and then I want to learn more about your how you do your internet campus. So I'm looking at the home page of the church website, familylife.ws, and I'm wondering where those 12 locations are. How would I find that? Or do you know them off the top of your head?
I do know them.
All right.
We have 2 in Ecuador, 3 in Africa.
Wow.
We have our main campus in Brunswick, Georgia, where it all started. Brantley just opened 6 months ago, and that's near Brunswick. We have one in India to come. The one in India that's already started in Bangalore. One in Patagonia to come, South America. One in McIntosh County, which is in Georgia, opening in 11313, and the internet campus.
And your internet campus. And so how do you keep, how does the church keep its campuses connected? Do you use a video teaching, or do you actually have pastors at each location, or a mix of both?
A mix of both.
Okay.
Yeah, a mix of both. So,
And how do you handle the multiple languages in multiple countries?
Well, in those countries, we have pastors from the in those countries. Yeah, we were thinking that it would be so nice, like on the internet campus, to be able to have some kind of app or something that would change what the pastors say to every kind of language. That would be kind of nice, huh? Somebody could
I remember seeing a multilingual chat software that the team at lifechurch.tv had developed and a couple years ago. I haven't seen much since.
Wow.
And so I'll send you a link for that if it's still up and running.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah. I thought it was called Babble With Me, but that's not showing up. So I'll have to dig around and see where it is. But it sounds like, I mean, that's a whole nother conversation. You've got an international church in addition to an internet campus. So that's probably something I need to connect with your pastor about. And your pastor's name is Chris Foster.
That's correct.
And we'll put a link to his blog on these show notes. So on the internet campus, you're a pioneer in a number of different ways. So you're an internet campus pastor not located by the physical campus. You're also a woman. So I think you're the only woman, or you're definitely the first. You might still be the only woman campus pastor. So how do you pastor online? What are the tools that you use since you don't have that physical presence? As you say, you like pastoring is a very relational thing.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that's really been working for us is like our Facebook advertising, which I do a lot of. Mm. I know that a lot of internet pastors do like the whole, you know, A to Z. Mm-hmm. But being that I'm so far away, I just do certain things. And then like the team that's on the Brunswick campus does a lot of the video and all that other stuff. And I just get the end product, and I do a lot of the ads and, of course, supervise the actual day of internet church, which is Tuesday. And then, of course, we do like the two services. Morning is geared to India and evening is geared to the United States. But I do a lot of the Facebook advertising, which has really helped us quite a bit. And the great thing about this type of marketing is it gets people directly into our service with one click. You know, like you can put your ad up, and then they can just click on it, and they end up in our service, which is really cool. And it is really effective also because you can put, you know, a cap on it for budget, for your budget, how much you want to spend on it. So there's never any overspending.
Yes, that's right.
You know, so that is very helpful for us as well. And so a lot of our viewers come from there. And as you know, that's a very popular place these days. And so that's been real helpful. So, I do a lot of the advertising, all the advertising, actually, for the internet campus.
That's great. And as people connect with your internet campus, which meets on a Tuesday night. So you're not live streaming. You're probably doing some kind of a recording mechanism.
Well, it is. It is. Well, it is from Sunday's message, but it's not edited or anything. So it's just, you know.
Okay. And then, do you do anything between services to foster community or discipleship, or what else do you do?
Well, we did try some online small groups, which did not work as planned, but that's okay because we learned from that. But we do have like a little, you know, like when people are new, how you give out cards at church, like to get to know them, you know, we have that online so we can, and we've had a lot of, we get a lot of feedback from that as well, so we get to connect that way, and you know, we're able to email people back, which a lot of people prefer rather than phone calls, and get to know them that way, and they come back and visit, and so that's good to communicate that way, and even communicate in different areas, like if they're near the main campus or other campuses. You know, a lot of them do go to those campuses, and many of them have started going regularly or even gotten involved in leadership and other events.
Well, just as you're involved as a boy, I don't even have the language for this, as a virtual or remote staff, you're reaching people all over the country and around the world. So what kind of roles can other people get involved with?
You mean as far as on the internet campus, what other roles can they get involved in?
Internet campus and even the church, just as you are.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything. You know, we have so many ministries, and there's always availability on the internet campus, to volunteer. And I remember that when I first attended Family Life Church, if there was not a ministry and you wanted something started, there's always a way to get it started, from motorcycle ministry to kids ministry to youth ministry to bus ministry to military ministry, hospitality ministry. Oh my goodness, just so many different things. And if you can think of it, if we don't have it, we'll make it happen. you have to just be where people are, in order to be able to relate to them and just love on them.
That's great. You really live out your church name as Family Life. That's really neat to hear.
Yeah.
And describe for us what a typical week looks like for you. Is this a full-time kind of job, and how do you stay connected with Brunswick?
There's a couple times a week that, I do stay connected through with the different pastors there in Brunswick and through staff meetings, also email, of course, and at least once a week with reports, what's going on with the internet campus as far as attendance, any kind of situations that we might have as far as, video issues or anything that's going on with the, the media that we use, or, good, bad, or indifferent, really. We have to keep in contact constantly with one another. So we do that in order to make things run smoothly. But it's more of a part-time thing for me, as far as hours go, and staying in contact with the church. And then as far as staying in contact with visitors and everything, I do that as much as I can. So as many hours as that takes, I don't mind. It's kind of a way of life for me to reach people. And I just believe that's what we're made for, to be in relationship with one another. So it just comes natural.
Fantastic. And what's next for the internet campus of Family Life?
Well,
a new project or a new feature?
Well, I don't know. I'm hoping to do something like maybe something where we can do something live in the broadcast. We haven't done that yet. Like where we can do either like meet and greet, and we shoot that live, or the giving aspect. Part of it, like, we usually do like through the chat box,
mm-hmm.
While they're doing something on the video. So maybe kind of, I know that there's a lot of churches that already do that. We just haven't stepped into that yet. So maybe looking into that and getting that done. And it's always good to kind of see what other internet churches are doing also, and what works for them. And see what else we can do.
Excellent.
That might be different. Yeah.
Well, that's what we're doing here at the Social Media Church Podcast, is capturing these stories and helping to foster learning across the board for church leaders about social media. So our listeners, if you're listening to Bernadine's Next Steps, please do chime in and add a comment, and we can learn together about how to add some live interaction for an internet campus.
Well, and you know what I have learned since I've, now that I'm older, much older, I've traveled internationally more, and I've noticed that most countries, with the exception to the United States, speak English also. Like, they speak their native language, and automatically, almost, they speak English.
Well, that's
great. Most of them, you know, so, and I guess I just didn't realize that till I traveled, but,
yeah, and then your internet campus is getting people from all over the world, so,
yeah,
they're participating with you online.
There, we have a map that we can see. I'm sure all the internet campuses have this, that you can see while you're online, that shows you where people are watching from. You know, it lights up these dots, like it would be like Orange County, California, and
yes,
Houston, Texas, and all that. And there was this one in India that didn't even have a name for its little area.
Wow.
We couldn't find the name for it. It was just a little tiny nowhere in the middle of nowhere, and somebody was watching from there.
Mm-hmm.
But and also another thing that happens with places like India is that since it records per computer, I forget what that word is, but per computer it records who's watching.
Yes.
It's not really a true representation, because you could have a room full of people watching. So it could be one person.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be 50 people. I guess that could be anywhere, not necessarily India, but I'm just saying a lot of people would watch, together, even in the United States. But
I've noticed a few churches actually have a login form saying how many people are watching with you so they can get a head count.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't know how true those, some people might not even.
Sure.
That, but I mean, I think. And the only reason that numbers are important because numbers are people, and people are important.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I have one last question, and I hope you can help us a little bit, particularly the guys that are the listeners. So, what is the deal with Pinterest, and how can we better understand how to use it?
Gosh, that's a good question, because I don't.
Okay.
I know, because I have not even gotten on there. But how can we better use that? Is it like a design?
Well, I've heard it's very popular with women. So I was in Kansas City last week for a worship leader conference and did a couple workshops on social media, and the women really lit up in the room for using Pinterest, and it is a place where people share photos. Or they find photos and collect them initially with design and fashion and wedding ideas, party ideas, baby things. But it's kind of expanded into all kinds of other areas where you can share photos.
So did you get on there?
Oh, I'm on there, yes. So my big pin board is one for Linsanity with all the buzz that Jeremy Lin created. So I have probably 200 or 300 photos of him.
So it's like a big giant bulletin board, kind of. Like
that's right.
So it's a big bulletin board, and you can go and stick things on there. Okay. So how could we do that for churches? Is your question?
Well, I was just curious how you might use it, and we wanted to have a women's perspective.
Okay, I'm going to think about that, and I'm going to mail you with the idea.
Awesome.
I am.
Great. Well, we'll add it on there, and I'll send you an invite after this conversation, and we'll see how it flourishes.
Sounds wonderful.
Great talking with you, Bernadine.
Same here.
That was my conversation with Bernadine Young in Houston, Texas, the internet campus pastor of Family Life Church based in Brunswick, Georgia. I was delighted to learn that it's actually a multi-site church and an international church. So I have dropped a line to the pastor, Chris Foster, also known as the Creative Punk, and I hope to learn more about their multi-site strategy and how they use social media there, along with other things that it takes to manage and connect a church in multiple locations. So if you have a response for Bernadine Young as she is looking to explore how to manage a multilingual chat and some of the other ideas that she's exploring, please do drop us a line here at Social Media Church, and you can connect with us online at socialmediachurch.net. The links to Twitter and Facebook, and even a phone number you can call in with a voicemail with your message, and we'll incorporate your audio on the future episode of the Social Media Church podcast. I've gotten some good feedback through direct messages and tweets and an occasional Facebook update. And as I mentioned on the previous episode, the shelf life or the lifespan of those updates are rather short-lived. I mean, a Facebook update or comment might be seen by others, or at least the interaction you would get from others, happen within 22 hours. And then a tweet tends to only have an interaction in the first hour, and then it's scrolled off with the whole river of data that just keeps on flowing. And so not a lot of people will get to see those unless they happen to catch it during that 1 hour window of time. And that makes me wonder, are people actually checking Twitter every hour in order to catch their tweets? I know I'm not doing that. And so I'm not sure what all of that means. But I do know one thing that it does mean in terms of feedback that I'm getting for Social Media Church, that people do like the conversations that are here, and they're learning things in a more narrative manner. But the feedback isn't as readily shared with all the listeners that are part of this, because it's not a comment on the actual blog that hosts this podcast, or it's not on the iTunes entry for this podcast. And so when you do add a comment, it has a much longer shelf life. It will be there for weeks and months and even years for other people to see. The first person that commented on our Social Media Church podcast blog is Jeff Jackson. So I am ever grateful for you being the first to break the sound barrier and leave a comment on, I believe it was episode number 5 with Vince Marotte. So if you know of another woman internet campus pastor or some other notable distinctions that should be worthy of note, I'd love to connect with him or her on a future episode of the Social Media Church podcast. Again, just email me at socialmediachurch.net or connect with whatever your social media channel of preference may be. And this wraps up another episode of the Social Media Church podcast. I am DJ Chuang, and until next time, we will stay connected online.